9 minutes past 12 coming up. All the questions on and off the field in the crunch.
Callers.
Another edition of...
They were good.
They were. Another edition of Derm's Diary still to come. We touch base with Nick Maxwell.
How about we sack that and just get more callers?
All right. Well, right now we're going to speak to Brett Montgomery, former Bulldogs player and, of course, an assistant right through up until the finals and a Port Adelaide premiership player. And he joins us on the line. Brett, thanks for your time.
Hello. My pleasure.
Obviously, you parted ways at the end of the home and away season. Have you been surprised with how well the Dogs have been able to get things together in the finals, given the duress that they've had from an injury point of view?
Oh, only from the injury point of view, Hutto. Yeah, absolutely. Obviously, they've got an incredible staff off field that have done some enormous work to get those, I think, four or five guys that we know about up to playing finals footy and actually playing really good finals footy. So there's probably another half dozen that we don't know about that go on every day, and they've done an incredible job. For those guys to come back and play at that level they're doing right now is quite incredible.
It certainly is. If we go back to last year's final, and Bevo's talked about this, and you obviously would have been deeply involved in the review to all that. Did that, the way you were opened up by Adelaide, did that have a really big impact in the way that you went about setting up this season?
Yeah, it did. It did. There was a lot in that game, whether it was the way we were opened up or the way we used the footy or the 50 or 60 missed opportunities that were highlighted through that time. It was a pretty painful time for the guys to go through, but it was something we thought was extremely important for them to do, mainly to see how good they could be and how fixable those problems were. So I think they've shored up a lot of things, or their defence is obviously at its all-time best, and which has only assisted their scoring, which did go through about a 10-week drought. So we've seen them return to probably some of their better form when it comes to scoring off the back of some great defence.
Monty, from the outside, we all look at the Doggies at the moment and say, what, they've got a head of steam up and they're on an emotional roll and they're doing things wonderfully. From the outside, it looks like they're a clan. It looks like they don't give a stuff about the rest of the footballing world. They're doing what they want, the way they want, and the mantra within there must be something exceptional that they keep batting up next soldier to step up to the plate.
Yeah, no problem at all with that term. I think we see it each week when they went through that horrible period where they probably were losing two players a week. There was never any talk about who'd be going out. There was a lot of talk about who'd be coming in and how seamless them filling those roles would be and how across the roles and how at such a high level they'd be able to execute those roles. That's where all the dialogue was and that's where all the talk was. And you've got to give full credit to probably Bevo and Bob Murphy for able to manufacture, if anything else, that vibe and that belief throughout the group.
That boy, like Webb, when you say roles, the kid Webb came in and was really, really good. Now he's back in the Magoos. He played the role and still can't get a game. So it's not as if they're just topping up with no names and we're hoping they can do the job. They've got defined roles, haven't they? That Bevo says, these are your boundaries and you will perform them. Otherwise, we'll get the next soldier up.
I think it's like a lot of things in footy. I think we get a little bit sick and tired of hearing guys like me talk about it. It's just coming in and playing a role. It's probably more relevant to talk about the system in which it's been created, that you're able to come in and fulfil those roles or duties, if you like, quite easily and comfortably because you know the system so well. It is a really distinct way of playing the game, and it is a quite a different system. And
so, does it simplify it for the let's be polite to them, the lower rung players?
Oh, absolutely. I don't think that's disrespectful in any sort of way. I think you can see by the sheer weight of numbers that went through that back line or that back seven or eight this year. I think there was 20 players went through that area and you wouldn't have known it. And I'm not sure that's the sort of message coming out of other clubs when they have injuries.
Brett, Mark Robinson here. Why aren't you still at the Dogs?
Well, it's a good question, Robbo. I think a great result for both me and the club would be to see out finals. But I think, as we know with footy clubs, that when decisions are made, whether they be mutual or not, there's a level of insecurity and paranoia that sometimes kicks in, I think. And we've seen that with a lot of finals teams over the last probably decade when guys have taken jobs or they've been pursuing jobs, that it becomes unworkable at times. And But as I said, I think the best case scenario, the best result for both me and the club would have been to see it out. Unfortunately, that didn't play out that way, but I understand that one fully.
But when others have left football clubs, a Bolton, they've actually got a job. They've got a role at a new club. It hasn't been announced. You may have a new role, and it hasn't been announced. But it wasn't as though you were taking over a senior coaching role. Was this Beveridge? Did Luke Beveridge say you're out?
Oh, it was very mutual, mate. With 3 weeks to go, we certainly didn't want me actively pursuing anything and disrupting anything that we were trying to do through the finals period. And I sort of get that. I understand that whether I've been successful in pursuing one of those roles or I've been taken up at another club, it is a distraction and it does take your thoughts away from your core business, which is the playing group.
Does it eat away at your own belief that, you know, I'm really important to this team? I really am. I've been working with them for all year. I've got really close relationships with my group of players. And with 4 weeks to go, they say, righto, see you later. We don't need you. We can do without you. Is that a bit of a hit to the?
Not really. Look, as I said to you before, it's not ideal, I think, for either party. But I sit really comfortably, and I know Bevo does too, that all the learnings, all the teachings have been really solid and thorough, and we're very pleased that the players are prepared as well as they are, whether it be through training or education. And they're not necessarily an autopilot this time of year, but, gee, they're not learning anything new, I wouldn't have thought.
How'd you get on with Swanee when you spoke to him?
Swanee and I go way back to the Carlton days. We've spoken semi-regularly over the years, so no different.
Recently regularly?
No, not recently regularly, but we have spoken.
Right, did you put your hand up for the Brisbane Lions senior job?
Well, Robert, I don't think that's how it's going to play out. I think the Brisbane Lions will be quite determined and fixed on the type of person they want, and that's who they'll pursue.
Is that difficult for a...
Just ask him, Robert. Just ask him. Has he got the job? Is that what you want to know?
No, I don't think he's got the job. But it must be...
Who are the favourites? Give us some indication where Monty would sit.
Oh, I think he'd be in the top four, from what I hear. But yep. There's a top two.
Hey, Brett, the way you coach...
There's a top two.
The way you coach, would you be now having a couple of years under Bevo, as opposed to where you've been in the past at Carlton and the likes...
And also Brendan McCartney.
Yeah. Would you coach more like Bevo does in that teachership style and the role playing style, rather than some of the other coaches you've been to IC to?
Well, I think I've probably had contact with probably half a dozen great coaches, I think, through my journey. Bevo is someone that I've taken a hell of a lot away from and would like to see some of that filter into the way I'd coach, and in particular the style of play. I think you only have to go to a Bulldogs game, and I think most people would attest to that. It's a passionate way to play the game. It's an exhilarating way to play the game, and it's something that the players really warm to. And there's no doubt that the relationships built with Luke and his playing group, a lot of it surrounds the type of game he's developed for them and the type of game he allows them to play. So that'd be definitely one thing I'd be taking with me.
Is it difficult for you, Monty? There's a possibility you want to coach senior football. There's one job going this year, and it's more than likely you're not going to get it. But next year, there's a possibility that there could be. And you know, I don't know the future, but you know, Ken Hinckley, Bucks is in his last year. Who knows what's going to happen with Damien Hardwick? You're looking for a new club, knowing that there could be some jobs available next year. Is that a difficult situation to be in?
Well, personally, I don't think so. I think as long as I'm moving and developing forward in whatever skill set that I need to, or I'm short in that next 12 months to position yourself, I certainly wouldn't put my house on those guys not continuing their roles. I'd have full confidence in every one of those coaches that they can turn around any sort of...
That was a hypothetical. That was a hypothetical on those guys, but it's possible.
Yeah, I think any coach that has aspirations, Robbo, just needs to be going forward and making sure that they're topping up their skill set so they're in a position when that opportunity does present itself that you're ready to go.
And how do you feel about job security if you get one, given that Robbo just sacked 25% of next year's coaches?
It's a pretty good gig, isn't it? Why wouldn't you want to do it?
Really? Hang on. A really important text message here for you, Brett.
What's that?
Ask Brett about egging on the way home from Essendon under 19 training.
You can't.
From Brad. Now, that would have been, what, 20 years ago?
At least.
Do you remember the incident?
Back when egging was legal.
Not that I can recall.
Monty, before we let you go, who wins today, do you think?
I think the Dogs win. I think they've the lessons learnt from last time. I know it's a long time ago, round 9, but the way that the Giants were able to reorganise its stoppage, I think they would have done an enormous amount of work on that. You can tell that with their altering their defence, it would have dominated their discussions to go in a little bit taller down back, whether Suckers was injured or not. A lot of thoughts gone into making sure they cover those three. And I think it's the Dogs from here. They're on a real ride, a wave of momentum, particularly at the Source. Their press is enormous. So now I'll be riding the Dogs home from here.
Oh, well, good luck for the Dogs and good luck at Tigerland or wherever you end
up
next year. Oh,
Anthony.
Or wherever he ends up next year. Thanks for joining us, mate.
Appreciate it. Thanks, Hunter.
Take the sunscreen.
Brett Montgomery.
Sunscreen, you reckon? You're going to Gold Coast.
You reckon he's going to the Gold Coast, do you?
I think he's going north.
Okay. With Rocket.
A couple of opportunities up north.
Yep. So you think he's going to Brisbane?
I think he's going to Brisbane. They need someone like him at Brisbane, someone who's been around multiple clubs, different voices, different styles, totally. That's exactly what they need at Brisbane. Someone who's not necessarily a Brisbane person. I think they need a change in the mindset up there.
So you think he should be the senior coach?
No, he won't be the senior coach.
He won't be the senior coach.
No. So he could be the senior assistant to Chris Fagan.
Exactly.
And so really, we'll talk about it after the break.
We will.
Hello?
We will. We're going to speak to Nick Maxwell next, and then we'll come back and discuss all those issues in the crunch. It's 20 past 12. Well, it is going to be some sort of game tonight, or this afternoon, in fact, as it starts and into the evening. And a man who obviously has been there as a premiership player and captain at Collingwood and has been an important part of the Giants in leadership and also as far as their defence is concerned is our very own Nick Maxwell. Maxie, g'day. Welcome. How are you feeling? Can you compare the feeling as a coach to as a player as you look ahead to later this afternoon?
Yeah, g'day, Hutto. Hello, boys. Can you compare it? It's awful when you're a coach because you can have some sort of impact, but you can't have a lot of impact. And as a player, you get to go out there and actually play the game and you've got, I guess, more of a say in the result. So it's not as good as a coach. So I'll probably find myself over the last few weeks being that little bit more nervous and not wanting to say too much to the players before the game because you don't want to sort of get in their heads too much. So I'd rather be playing, I'll tell you that much.
You've got to a preliminary final. What are you most proud of? And I know there's two big games to go, hopefully, of what this group's been able to achieve this year, probably a little bit ahead of the curve.
Oh, I think a lot of the individual development's been really good, just to see guys really take it on board. And, I mean, you talk about that backs group, to see Heath Shaw's maturity and the way that he's understood how important his role is, to see a guy like Nick Haynes come in from a slow start of the year through injury and just play the way he has. And even a guy like Tomlinson, who was a centre-half forward and ends up being your centre-half back in the last 8 to 10 weeks, and he's played sensational footy for us. So just to see a lot of the individual development. And I guess as a group, they've been very level. They haven't got ahead of themselves at any stage, and they understand that they've just got to focus on the process of it all. If they start thinking ahead too much, then that's when they'll lose focus on what's happening right in front of them.
Maxie, I mean, the world is looking at them saying, oh, we've given them too much, and perhaps, you know, they've given them... the league in setting up the Giants have given them a real chance to put some incredible talent out on the park. But these boys are like any other group of young men. They've taken some fearful batterings along the way, haven't they? They're still only human and they still cut and bleed like everyone else and they've still been through the ringer to get here.
Yeah, you're spot on, Derm. I guess that was for me early on, just seeing that I was looking at him going, boys, you don't know what you're capable of. You could do anything this year early in the season and before the season started, but you sort of look at them and they're not quite believing what you're saying. So obviously when you've been through plenty of big losses, you're not sure about where you sit and what you're actually capable of. So that's been a process this year of the good wins you have, that's just another building block in your confidence to say, look, we can achieve something this year. I think you'd rather be in the position of having high draft picks and having to deal with them, but there's also different challenges when you've got high draft picks. You get these guys who come in, and there might be three or four coming to the Giants in a year. At other clubs, there's only one coming in, and that guy's usually playing because he's only got to find one spot for him. Whereas when you've got three or four, a guy like Hopper's come in and played a fair bit of footy, but a guy like Manny Kennedy hasn't had many opportunities. Jack Steele, when they come in, they're playing in the forward line. So they get frustrated because they want to be in the midfield, and that's what they've done for their whole career. So I guess there's other challenges that come with it, but at the same time, as you say, they're humans, and they all want to win. They want to play good footy, and they want to be a part of it.
What about Stevie J today? What will his role entail?
Yeah, I haven't spoken to him about it. I know during the week he's had a lot to say, and he's been getting around his group. So I think it, obviously in the breaks, the quarter time, three quarter time breaks, he can't have any say. But before the game and half time, he certainly can. So being suspended,
he's not allowed on the ground, is he?
No, you're not allowed on the ground. So you can't go out there at quarter time and three quarter time, but he can go down to the rooms before the game and half time. So I assume that he'll be having a fair bit to say to Devin Smith and Toby Green and all the forwards down there.
Max, here with your role with the backline group in particular, they're very aggressive, these guys. You've got Williams, Haynes, Phil Davis to a point, and even Nathan Wilson. They will fly for any mark that they think they can take. They'll go back with the ball. They're incredibly brave. Where do you draw the line? How do you find the balance between them being aggressive enough to go and back themselves to market? Because if they don't, they can create a soft drop with the ball opportunities, which the Dogs will capitalise on today. How do you draw the balance?
Yeah, you're spot on, Kingy. I guess from a start, what I wanted to do, and Nick Walsh is the other backline coach, what we wanted to do was to give the boys confidence to play to their strengths. So all we've done all season is try and pump them up and what their strengths are and what they're good at. Obviously, you chip away at the other things, but I think that this day and age, particularly Gen Y, they're real confidence sort of people and confidence players. So we want them to back themselves. And I guess if Nick Ainge is going for a mark, it's actually the responsibility of Phil Davis and Heath Shaw and all the boys around him to make sure that if it's a marking situation, he takes a mark. And if it's not, then you really do clear it. And we certainly have addressed that because we know that if it is a soft drop, we know that all those Bulldog smalls are going to be right there putting heavy pressure on. So it's a really tough one, really cutthroat one, because if you don't take that mark, you're in big trouble. So we have discussed that. But at the same time, I don't want the boys to go away from what they're good at.
Must be interesting for you, Maxie. You're a premiership captain, probably identified as, you know, one of the really, really good on-field leaders. You go there to the Giants. You've experienced something that a lot of them haven't. How do you bite your tongue sometimes?
I don't often, Robbo, to be honest. I probably have a fair bit to say.
Does Leon look at you and say, Maxie,
bite your tongue?
Shut up.
there was only one time when, I guess, I really stepped in and felt like I had to do something, and that was half-time in the Port Adelaide game. We go back to that one. They were...
What round was that? When are we?
Mid-year. Yeah, two-thirds of the way through. And our boys came in, and it was just dead silent. They were really quiet and just had no energy. And Leon sort of had a chat to them, and they came out, and I looked at them again, and I went, what is going on here? So I just grabbed them before they ran out the race, and I basically just baked them. I just said, I don't know what's wrong with you blokes. You're feeling sorry for yourselves because the scoreboard's not looking after it, but we're actually playing really good football. We're in front in this, that, and this. So don't you dare go into your shell. You get out there and keep doing that, and I promise you it'll turn for you. So that was probably the most aggressive I've had to be.
What was the feedback on that from the players and from the and the coach clearly was made aware or heard it. What was the feedback on that?
Oh, some of the coaches grabbed me afterwards and just said, mate, you read the moment perfect. That was great. And a few of the boys texted me after the game just saying that's exactly what we needed. Thanks for stepping in. So it's just been with the experience, Robert, you understand those moments. You see when you need them. And I guess that's my role on the bench as well. Like I'm connected to all the coaches and I have to give feedback to the players. But you also get players who come off, and because there's 90 rotations, guys will come off and they'll be really frustrated about a situation, or they haven't touched the ball yet, or they're not involved. And it's just about actually settling them down and actually...
I was going to say, calming, there's a moment, there's time to be calm, and there's a time you've got the leeway to do that?
Yeah, absolutely. Yep. And sometimes, you'll see me, I'll be grabbing someone and I'll be just sort of really close to them and just speaking them through, calming them down and talking about the process and what's next. And as an individual, and also giving him confidence and letting him understand that. I mean, halftime in that Sydney game a couple of weeks ago, there was a real frustration just before halftime because we felt like we were playing better than what the scoreboard suggested. We should have been further in front. I just sort of spoke to the boys that came off who were frustrated and said, you've got to understand in finals, you've got to grind away. You're not going to just blow a team away in 10 minutes and kick 3 or 4 goals. You've actually got to grind away and eventually it'll turn. So,
Maxie, can I just ask you there, with those leaders you're talking about, have you spoken to those guys about the difficulty with the break? We've seen what happened last night with the one game in 28 days. Have you spoken to them and addressed that, and what was their feedback?
No, all we've done is address last week, Kingy, was making sure that they understood that last week was an opportunity just to rest and basically just wait for the next week, which is obviously this week. You actually had to get something out of last week. You had to understand we had to be sharp, we had to train hard, and we had to prepare ourselves the best we could last week to make us better this week. And we certainly did that at training. The training on Friday was really, really sharp, and the players trained really, really well. So I think that was a good sign that I guess they're in the right headspace. I know we saw what happened last night, and we probably won't know until that 7:30 tonight whether or not we feel that that bye has had an impact or not. But all we can do is best prepare them as well as we can.
Maxie, I won't let too many secrets out of the bag here because I know everybody does this, but Leon is the kind of coach that in his prep puts himself in the opposition's shoes. And he would have been saying to himself this week, if I'm Bevo, what will I throw at the GWS Giants? And Bevo, in the space of 2 years as a senior coach, has turned into a little master technician, hasn't he? He's become one of the senior technical students of the game. What does Leon expect Bevo to throw at him that he's prepared for, and as plan A and B, and even plan C that he might have to encounter?
I guess just the ones that we've seen in the past. So obviously last week, Cordy and Johannesson both spent time forward and they both spent time back. So we're sort of prepared for both those scenarios. We know that Cordy's done jobs on different players at different times. So whether someone goes to Heath Shaw and tries to do a job on him, he's done that for long enough, so he's prepared for that. So just the little things like that. I think in terms of their game plan, they won't change much because it's worked for them, and it showed, we've seen from particularly last weekend, how good they are when they play their way.
Maxie, we appreciate your time. Big day for you. It sounds like you've got John Kennedy and Ted Whitten wrapped up there with your inspirational speeches. We might have to see one of your best ones today. But in all seriousness, we appreciate the insight and wish you all the best.
Thanks, boys. Appreciate it.
Nick Maxwell joining us on Crunch Time. Plenty more to come. We get into the crunch next. Some big questions to be asked. Player market will be explored and all the other news of the week.